AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. And by propane. Propane is the energy for everyone, especially farmers. Environmentally friendly propane can fuel most anything on the farm. See how at propane.com. Volatility flooded back into the corn market today, generating some price movement in the wheat and soy complex as well. USDA's much-awaited reports were delivered. So, what's next? We will break down the reports and imagine exactly what is next for the grain markets.
Live from opening day at the K via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Chad Hart from Iowa State University. Directly following the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
All right, Davis. Hey, you know, so here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very busy day. Markets are closed tomorrow. We're getting ready for tomorrow's shows, or I should say getting tomorrow's shows ready. It's been a busy day, which has kind of kept my mind off of the fact that it is opening day. Thank you for bringing that back into my vision. And I had like 4 minutes just a little bit ago. I had like 4 minutes. Got on Twitter, was taking a look around, and I found the coolest montage of baseball movies I think I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Of course, I lost 5 minutes of my time in watching this thing, but I couldn't stop watching it. It's got me so fired up about baseball again, it ain't even funny, dude.
Chip, you got to take time for what makes you happy. You know what I mean?
Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis.
Oh.
It is opening day. It is prospective plantings report day. It is quarterly grain stocks report day. Hogs and pigs report was just released. We'll try to get to that at the end of the show. Leading up to it, of course, we're going to have a conversation with Chad Hart at Iowa State. All right, dude, let's get to it. What you got?
Well, Chip, wheat futures traded higher for most of the session and followed the rally in corn futures to post the highest close since March 4. Other spring wheat acres this year are expected to total 11.335 million. That's about 440,000 more than traders expected and up about 135,000 acres from last year. Wheat stocks in all positions on March 1 at 1.087 billion bushels were up 158 million bushels from a year ago and 17 million bushels above the average pre-report trade guess. In the morning's weekly export sales report for the week ended March 21, wheat sales totaled nearly 340,000 metric tons. That topped lackluster trade expectations. July HRW wheat futures were 5¾ cents higher, 579¾. July SRW wheat up 13 cents, 575¾. July spring wheat at last report, 652 and a half, down 4¾. Still waiting on that close on the spring wheat.
Yeah, I was still waiting on the settlement there. Nothing really overly negative for the wheat market. Everything was driven by corn in the wheat trade today.
Well, corn claimed the golden ticket of increased volatility from today's USDA reports. USDA's survey of growers revealed intentions to plant just 90 million acres to corn in 2024. That's down about 4.6 million acres from last year and 1.7 million below the average pre-report trade estimate. That was enough to send corn futures sharply higher. May corn opened near session lows and posted a high-range close, although settlement prices were well off session highs. Corn posted an upside reversal on the daily chart. Corn stocks in all positions, March 1 of 8.35 billion bushels were up about 950 from last year, but were 80 million bushels below the average trade guess. Corn export sales weekended March 21 of 1.2 million metric tons were at the high end of trade expectations. May corn futures today, 15¼ cents higher at 442. July corn up 15¼ to 454½. December corn futures closed at 477¾, up 15½ cents, Chip.
Backed off the highs, but still a very positive day in the corn market.
Soybean export sales weekended March 21 totaled 264,000 metric tons. That fell short of trade expectations and had the bean market under pressure early in the session. May beans opened mostly steady, fell to spike support at last week's low, then rallied back to $12 on support from the gains in corn futures. Prices then pulled back to close just below the opening range. Bean plantings this year expected to total 85.61 million acres, up nearly 3 million acres from a year ago, right in line with trade expectations, Chip. Bean stocks in all positions, March 1, 1.85 billion bushels. That's up 158 million bushels from a year ago and 17 million bushels above trade expectations. May beans were a penny lower, 11.91 and a half. July beans down 1 1/4 to 12.05 and a quarter. November beans closed at 11.86 and 1/4, up 2 3/4 cents, Chip.
Mixed trade in the product markets. July soybean meal down $1.60. July bean oil up 26 points.
Cotton export sales weekended March 21 of 98,200 running bales were up 46% from the four-week average. Cotton plantings in 2024 are expected to total 10.673 million acres, up about 44,000 from last year, 444,000, that's right, from last year, but 230,000 below trade expectations. July cotton today, 53 points higher at 91.97. And on the livestock, beef export sales, 12,700 metric tons, just above the four-week average, and cattle futures continued to claw back early week losses. April live cattle were $1.40 higher at 185 even. June futures up $1.57 and one half to 180.25, and April feeders 25 cents higher, 247.12 and a half. And on the snout side, pork export sales, 55,300 metric tons, a new marketing year high, up nearly two-thirds from the four-week average. Mexico easily stood at the top of the buyer's list and accounted for nearly 33,000 metric tons of the sales. Front month lean hog futures closed higher in each of the holiday shortened week's days. Mm-hmm. April hogs 52 and a half higher, 86.62 and a half. June contract off 15 cents, 101.45, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
You know, all things considered, I'm doing really well. It could have been a different story had things flipped the other way, but a good way to round out the week here, a long weekend at that. We got opening day and some college hoops on later this evening. What gets better than that?
I don't know. The only thing, the biggest problem is I've got about a 3.5 hour break from the end of this show until the Cubs and the Rangers. We see the first pitch there, so.
Yeah, I don't know what you do to fill the void there. Sorry.
I'll have to find something, won't I? Yeah. What did you like better, the corn trade or the cattle trade?
I kind of like cattle. I've been leaning a little bit more on the cautious side here over the last several weeks, just seasonally and the fundamentals kind of stalling out. But I think, you know, the for lack of better terms, bloodbath that we saw earlier in the week was way overextended. And I think it was just a culmination of so many different things thrown at the market at one specific time, that being the bearish cattle on feed report. We talked about the avian flu, a technical breakdown in a quarter one. Any one of those things in and of itself, I don't think would have been enough to really spark the panic that we saw earlier in the week. But all together, at the end of the quarter with funds long about 60,000 contracts after running the market up, you know, for 3 months straight, basically. I think that sparked just a bigger breakdown than what was warranted. Gotcha. I think we can get June back up to 182. I think that's going to be a big tug of war area. So we'll kind of reevaluate things if we get back up there.
Gotcha. Can you imagine if even corn could close 2 cents higher on Monday? It'll be great.
It'll be great. I mean, from the technical perspective, the charts are looking pretty good. We got a nice close above the 50-day moving average for the first time in what seems like a lifetime for that May contract. And we've got December with a nice strong close. A lot of resistance up here just north of 480. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get some follow through and kind of shake things up into the spring, which we got the number that at least starts to shift the conversation a little bit.
All right, let's get it from a third party. Illini or Cyclones tonight?
Cyclones, baby.
Amen, brother. Have a great weekend. Happy Easter, Oliver.
You too. Take care.
Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. We got Chad Hart from Iowa State up next.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, you know, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Yeah, yeah, this is it. This is it.
Let's see. What bracket are the Cyclones in? Would that be the East? Have the fans all headed east to Boston?
To Boston.
Boston. Just very another nice. Bandauda. Welcome
Bandauda.
Back.
Bandauda. Now, I've heard of bandanas. I'm not sure what a bandauda
Bandauda.
Is. Yeah.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. That is Davis Michelson. And we've got a lot of ground to cover in this afternoon show. Before I get to Chad Hart, though, I do want to mention this. The quarterly Hogs and Pigs report was released this afternoon. Back at the top of the hour, and the number of all hogs and pigs or inventory of all hogs and pigs on March 1, 74.6 million head, up 1% from year ago. Trade was looking for steady numbers there. Breeding inventory, 6.02 million head, down 2%. I believe that's right in line with what the trade was anticipating there. Let me get that. No. The average trade guess on the breeding herd was down 3.5%. We've got it down 2%. And then the market hog inventory, 68.6 million head, up 1% from year ago. The trade was looking for 100.3% of year ago. So might be a little negative. We'll have to put some perspective on that as the show goes on. Chad Hart, crops marketing specialist, Iowa State University Extension, is our guest analyst. Chad, it's good to talk with you, buddy. How are you?
It's good to be here, Chip.
Yeah, glad you are. Wow. It's amazing to me, but the end of March report, whether we get the volatility boost from the grain stocks report or from the prospective plantings report, we always seem to find a source of volatility. And like Davis said in the news, corn kind of got the golden ticket today with a boost in volatility because of that, the acreage intentions, right?
Oh, it definitely did. And in fact, I'd say the run up to, you know, today was we were worried about that volatility being on the other side, that we were worried that, you know, the corn number was going to come out above USDA's 91 million acre estimate that we pulled from the Ag Outlook Forum. And so,
right.
It was a good day for the corn market.
Yeah. Well, dude, I was solidly on the other side. I was thinking 92 was the base because of the conditions that we had last fall, because beans never really put on a full court press to get acres. I've still got a long list of reasons why I thought 92 million would be the base. And instead, here we are at 90. How'd we get that low?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors, because I got to admit, I like the 91 number going in. So I was surprised to see the 90, though, as well. And when you look at the shift we saw, you know, across the nation, I was expecting the northern plains to move away from corn more than they did. But what we saw was especially the southern plains and throughout the southeast, very strong movements there away from corn. Some of that going into cotton. Some of that going into beans, some of that just not getting planted.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So when you said that, it reminded me, I want to go really big picture here for a moment. And one of the numbers that we get from USDA is the principal crops area planted. And I mean, guys, this includes everything from corn down to proso millet, sugar cane, double crop. I mean, it's in there when we look at these principal crops planted. A year ago, the number was 319.6 million acres. This year, 313.3, down 6.3 million acres, Chad. What gives?
Oh, yeah. Like I say, it was a gigantic pullback. And a lot of this, to me, comes back to two features. One, in general, crop prices are lower now than they've been over the past couple of years. And two, the lingering impacts of the drought. Because as we look across the country, where we saw the biggest pullback in terms of overall crop plantings, it's that Southern Plains area. Okay. Kansas was down over 5%. Oklahoma down nearly 6%, Texas down 5.5%. So the idea is you saw a lot of movement, and in this case, a lot of movement to not plant something on acres in the Southern Plains.
So weather can still change that, or is it too late already?
Well, that's the deal. When you look at these principal crop numbers, USDA doesn't tend to miss too much on the low side. If they're going to miss, they tend to be too high as opposed to too low.
Really?
Over the past, decade, when they've missed low, it's been by like half a million acres at most. When they miss high, and that's typically because of the planting delays, there's where we can see the 2 to 3, the 4 million acre movements.
Wow. Okay. So it does feel like, because the planting season is well along in the Southwest, it feels like it might be a little too late there. Okay.
Yep. So, and one of the things I was watching, for example, was sorghum. The idea is if you're keying off the Southern Plains, and what we saw down there on the sorghum side, down 11% compared to last year. So there's a crop that's drought tolerant. You'd figure it fits well, but no, we're seeing a pullback in that area.
Yep. Okay, soybean plantings, what was it, 86.5 in the planting intentions report? How'd that line up with your expectations?
I got to admit, I was fairly comfortable with that. USDA originally had 87.5 out there, so it was down 1 million from those early estimates. But yeah, we did see a nice push there, and there's where I was watching North Dakota, and North Dakota popped up really strong there. They added 700,000 acres on the soybean ledger as we look, but we saw growth in soybeans pretty well across the entire country. The exceptions would be, again, the Southern Plains, and then Alabama and South Carolina were down a little bit as well, but everybody else was adding, especially in this case. I'll point out also, look to the Eastern Corn Belt. Indiana up 4.5%, Ohio up over 5%.
Okay. So maybe in those areas, maybe the economics of the bean market were strong enough over the winter to attract more bean acres. Is that kind of the bottom line?
I think that is the bottom line, especially as I look at the eastern side. And when I'm looking at North Dakota, you can think about those, those potential soybean crushing facilities that are being, talked about up there.
Yep,
I think that's helping hold that acreage up there in, North Dakota, Minnesota, South Dakota.
Okay. 176.5 million combined corn and soybeans, Chad. That seems light.
Oh, yeah. And I got to admit, that's the deal. I think everybody was sort of caught off guard by that. I say, when I look back at USDA's initial estimates, basically both corn and soybeans lost 1 million acres compared to that. So they're, down in total two, which is basically what's showing up here. When we look at the industry estimates, they were expecting that 2 million acres to be in play somewhere here, and they weren't.
Right. Okay, let's go ahead and jump to the balance sheets then. Does it change the narrative? Does it change the outlook for the corn market?
It doesn't necessarily change the narrative, but it changes the scale that we're looking at there. Because as I looked at this, I'm like, what I saw in terms of the stock levels, it helped reduce the overhang, if you will. Okay. The shrinkage of that 1 million acres in corn shaved about 159 million bushels off of estimated production. So instead of being north of 15 billion, now we're at 14.88. But that's still above current demand estimates as we look for the 2024 crop for corn. Beans, again, that 1 million acres coming off took about 51 million bushels off the expected production number. So instead of looking at a record bean crop coming this year, now it's number two, barely under what we did back in 2021, if I remember right. And so you did see the crop shrink a bit in terms of that balance sheet, but we still have larger supplies or larger production than we've got on the usage ledger.
Okay. Okay. So, we haven't done the grain stocks report yet. We're coming up on a break. But the bottom, I'm not hearing a major influence on your price outlook yet.
Not a big push here. I'm going to argue this. What this does was it kept me at break even for both crops.
Kept you at break even. That's disappointing. You know what I mean? You would think that if we trim 2 million combined off of the corn and wheat acres, or corn and soybean acres, that we could get some plus signs compared to break even in there. But we will talk about that more. We've got to get to the grain stocks report, figure out what it means as far as the usage pace on corn and soybeans in particular, and what that might mean for the balance sheets going forward. We're talking with Chad Hart, Iowa State University, here on AgriTalk.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 5 3/4 higher at 579 3/4. July SRW wheat up 13 cents, 575 3/4. And boop, 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 breaking news. July spring wheat finally closed at 653, down 4 1/4 on the day. May corn futures 15 1/4 cents higher, 442. Dease corn futures 477 3/4, up 15 1/2 cents. May soybeans a penny lower, 11.91 1/2. Novi beans closed at 11.86 1/4. That's up 2 3/4 cents. July cotton 53 points higher, 91.97. On the livestocks, April fat cattle a buck 40 higher, 1.85 on the snout. April feeders 25 cents higher, 247.12 1/2. And April lean hog futures 52 1/2 cents higher at 86.62 1/2. Get more market news every market day. Try ProFarmer.com.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
The news was breaking today with the USDA reports, prospective planning, quarterly grain stocks report, and the quarterly hogs and pigs report released today. We are talking with Chad Hart, Iowa State University crops marketing specialist at the extension service there. And Chad, we covered a lot of ground on the acres in the last segment. Let's go to the quarterly grain stocks report. Corn stocks on March 1, 8.347 billion bushels. Trade was looking for 8.427, so missed it by 80 million bushels. Came in 80 million bushels below the trade expectations. But it was up about 950 million bushels from a year ago. So what do we make of those March 1 stocks on corn?
Well, that's the deal. As you say, the idea is they're up compared to last year, but down compared to where we thought they would be. And I think that's very encouraging. What I really liked was the disappearance number. When you look at that December to the February disappearance number. We were up about 400 million bushels compared to last year. It's good to see additional corn being utilized, and that bodes well as we look forward over the next couple of quarters.
Right. On farm stocks on March 1, just called 5.1 billion bushels. That was up almost 25% from a year ago. The off-farm stocks, 3.3 billion bushels, down 23 million bushels, less than a percent from a year ago. So a big increase in the on-farm stocks. What does that make you think?
Well, that's the deal. And it's something that I've been hearing about for the past few months as I travel around farm country, that everybody's talking about how grain wasn't moving that much and what's being held is held on farm. And this report definitely confirmed that. And what it also confirms, though, is that we know that crop's got to get moving to make room for the crop we're trying to plant, just one we just talked about there. So we know that that puts a cap on how big our rallies can get, because we do have a lot of corn sitting on farm that's going to need to hit the market soon.
Yeah. So the guys that have got corn on farm, and it's not just you that heard the story. I heard the story. It seems like every guest analyst that has been on has made a comment about, you know, the higher than normal level of ownership that farmers still have on old crop corn. What does that mean for the market going forward?
Well, like I say, I do think it limits the upside as we're looking at there. And it also makes sense given what farmers have been doing and investing in over the past few years. They have taken the proceeds that we've gotten, reinvested it on the farm, whether it's trying to get additional land, but I think we put up fair amount of storage to help hold the crop. They're looking at the weather conditions, thinking we could see a pop. And so they're betting on the come, and they've definitely done that here as we look at both corn and soybeans in terms of what we're holding in storage right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That usage number that you referenced, up about 400 million bushels from the same quarter a year ago. Can we even improve on that pace?
It's possible. I mean, I think when you look at that, what's been helping us here is I can point to exports, definitely seeing a stronger pace there than we did last year. And I think this goes back to, you mentioned the hogs and pigs report, the cattle on feed report. We're seeing, I think, better feed demand now than we had expected, say, 6 months ago.
And boy, if we could have just a bit of a problem with that Safrinha corn crop down in Brazil and have that turn into some extra demand in the export market, that might be the real golden ticket for corn.
I would agree with that. The idea is, I think when you look here, I would say what we've seen thus far is corn exports have recovered back to almost around our 5-year average. When we look out there, you give me a little problem down in Brazil and that opens up some greater opportunities there that could lead to some additional pop in the market.
Yeah. If nothing else, everything that I've seen on corn right now, Chad, makes me think, and I was preparing for a dull growing season. You know, we might have some issues. We might have a few delays during the planting season. There might be a midsummer scare, but I just did not think that the corn market was going to be sensitive to that kind of news, that kind of a headline. With missing, in my mind, a couple of million corn acres, with the usage pace that we've seen, all of a sudden the corn market does seem vulnerable to some increased volatility this summer if that weather issue shows up. And do you think I'm off base on that?
Oh, no, I definitely agree with that. In fact, as I'm looking here, like I say, what we've done is we've tightened things up a bit, both from an old crop and new crop perspective for corn. And that's leading to some support that we hadn't been seeing for a while. If you think where prices settled out today, that basically put us back to where we were basically at the beginning of February. Mm-hmm. So we've seen this nice little bounce off the bottom. It's got us back. We're still not seeing strong prices, but at least we have sort of found the bottom. We floated up above that now. And like I say, we're in range of where I can talk about break even and maybe some small profitability out for 2024.
I get it. So, you know, for some of us, it is changing the narrative because it, for me, it is changing my outlook here. And you know, we got to keep track of and realize that intentions are just that, and they can and very likely will change between now and the time the last kernel of corn or corn seed goes in the ground. But the bias is towards fewer corn acres than what the market was expecting. No question about that. Okay, on soybeans, got to get my specs back on here. Soybeans, March 1 stocks, 1.845 billion bushels. Trade expected 1.828 billion. So just a little bit above the trade expectations. And compared to a year ago, we are up 158 million bushels on March 1 bean stocks. What does that make you think?
Yep. So in this case, I would say this is the one thing that I took as negative from the reports today. You know, the idea is we're looking at the not only stock levels higher compared to last year. Again, a lot of that, almost all that, well, that, actually all that growth is an on-farm storage. And when you looked at the quarterly disappearance, down 13% compared to last year. So where corn was, everything was moving in the right direction for us here, at least on the stock side, everything, it wasn't bad, but it was moving in the wrong direction.
Yeah. So let's bring South America and Brazil in particular into the conversation like we did on corn. They're finding more acres is what it seems like to me, Chad, that, you know, it's not like the bean yield on this year's crop was some spectacular yield. They just planted even more acres than what we thought they did 30 days ago. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
It is amazing. Well, but it comes back to, again, I mean, that's been the big question throughout most of the winter, is trying to figure out just what that Brazilian bean crop looks like.
Yeah.
USDA has held a fairly high number compared to almost all the private numbers that we've seen out there, and especially compared to CONAB. But the idea is, I think every time we look at that crop, you're right. The idea is that there seem to be more planted than we expected. It's not a yield boost this year. It's an acreage boost.
Yep. Yeah. Brian Grady at Pro Farmer had conversation with a couple of the USDA economists about that number, the Brazilian bean number, and had it in Pro Farmer newsletter here a couple of weeks ago. And when they went to the acres, all of a sudden it became easier to buy into that, the USDA being above the private industry on that number, because They're looking at some pretty sophisticated satellite imagery and so on, and getting that number and putting it in place. Okay, attitude on beans then. We talked about your attitude on corn when it comes to marketing. What's your attitude on soybeans?
Well, that's still beans. I hate to say this, but both crops are in the same boat.
Okay.
You know, as you're looking at pricing right now, it's pricing right around break even for the 2024 season. And this report didn't move it that much from that. The challenge is going to be here. Yep, production got a little smaller with the, like I say, in terms of expected production, but we're not seeing that demand growth that we need to get usage to catch up to production.
Sensitivity to weather growing, to summer growing conditions, high or low for beans?
It actually, I would argue, got higher with this report. Just because, yeah, we don't have 87.5 million coming at us. We got 86.5. And so when I'm looking at production of, you know, 4.45, and I've got total usage right now for 2024 estimated 4.4, we're not building stocks up by that much.
Okay. All right. So the next 60 days, really, it's the focus is going to be on the supply side of the market.
Oh yeah. I think I'll go back to, as you said here, the idea is all it's going to take is a couple of little foibles as we get out there and try to plan. If we see some delays, that's going to help reinforce these relatively small numbers on plantings.
Yep, that's right. Okay, good stuff. One last thing, buddy. You know what I'm going to say? Go Cyclones.
Go Cyclones tonight.
Tonight is a big night. It's probably a good thing the markets are closed tomorrow, Chad.
It's good for me, at least.
Yeah, it's good for me. It's going to help me. All right. Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Chad Hart, Iowa State University Crops Marketing Specialist. Davis and I will be right back.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farm incentive to see if you're eligible.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Acuron. Discover 5 to 15 more bushels per acre with Acuron corn herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here trying to keep Chip Flory focused. Flory,
yo,
we got you?
What?
Huh?
Excuse me?
I thought so. Great conversation with Chad Hart just then from the Iowa State University, who will be playing basketball tonight, as I understand. There's a
Chad Hart will be playing basketball tonight?
No. The Cyclones that represent him will be.
They've got a game?
In competition, as I understand.
Yeah. Really?
I hear they don't have. I really don't know if they've got a shot from what I've heard. These Illinois boys are tough. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say.
I don't think they've got much of a chance at all.
You're lying. You're just trying not to jinx your bracket. That's what you're doing.
I just hope we don't embarrass ourselves.
No.
That's all I'm hoping for.
I'm sure you'll do fine. I'm sure you'll do fine.
No. I still can't believe that we got to wait until 9:10 to toss the ball in the air.
Yeah.
Good grief.
I'm 19 and a half minutes from first pitch here in Kansas City against the Twins.
I'm not even sure what time the first pitch is for the Cubs and Rangers.
Man, you are slipping. You're slipping.
What's happened to you? Dude, it's been one of those days. Today is the day.
Yeah, today is the day.
Today's the day that the market hands out the golden tickets.
That's right. And not only that, tomorrow the market is shut down.
Closed.
Yeah, closed for Good Friday.
That's right. That's right. Happy Easter, everybody.
Now, AgriTalk will roll on. We've got some good stuff for you. A whole fresh steaming bucket of AgriTalk for you.
Sean Hackett.
Tomorrow, we got Sean Hackett. don't miss that one, 2:06 Central Time. And then, of course, the free-for-all we've got tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Through the magic of radio, we'll be able to do that,
Yeah. I think there's some time travel involved in it too.
There may be. We really can't talk about it. We really can't. Chad Hart, a lot of talk about the report and the potential implications. And feel free to throw that in here, but I do want to start where he started. Farmers have been building plenty of storage and are willing to wait on the come.
Yeah.
That sounds a little scary to me.
On the grain stocks numbers with the amount of the crop that is stored on farm. I agree. It will be interesting to see how it all plays out this year. Because with ownership, Now, before I say this, I'm going to say this first. It's easiest for corn to rally when farmers are sold out. Okay?
That makes sense. Yep.
When farmers are sold out, that's the easiest way to get corn to rally. But in most commodity markets, with ownership comes leverage.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
The problem is everybody's got to do exactly the same thing in order for that leverage to work. And can you imagine trying to herd that, or, you know, corral that herd of cats?
If
it's not impossible, it's next to it. So there's that thought process that we at least need to consider, that if that ownership is in strong enough hands because of the good revenue that they've had over the past 2 years, because of a series of other things, that if they can maintain that ownership deep enough into the season, could it have an influence? I don't know. It's been a long, long time since farmers have had this level of ownership in the cash market, the physical cash market. It's either going to be really bad or help a little bit. One of the two.
And so if everybody gets to thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to wait till the market flushes out, everybody sells out, and then that's when I'm going to sell.
Right.
But if everybody thinks that, then we never get the flush.
And you could see some movement in basis because of it. Some strength in basis because of that. Yeah.
Well, based on this morning's conversation based on tomorrow's conversation, I think we'll get a look at the weather is what we'll do with Sean Hackett. And he's always talking about those cycles. You know, it's interesting to think about what those cycles may hold for us. Because you're into it. The Gleisenflusen cycle? Gleisberg.
Gleisberg. Yes. Yeah, the 89-year cycle.
Yeah.
89-year cycle. I've been talking about it and writing about it and listening to Elwin Taylor at Iowa State University talk about it for a lot of years. So we're gonna add to that conversation tomorrow with Sean Hackett, because you know, when the cycles start to line up and patterns start to repeat, you got to pay attention.
Yep.
And it feels like the patterns are repeating on this one. Hey. And the cycles are definitely starting to line up and come together. So we need to watch it and watch it very closely.
Super quick. We got 90 million acres to corn. And what was the number on beans? 85.6. Are those the lowest prints we'll see all year?
It is for corn.
Okay.
I think that'll probably be part of the conversation going forward. But yeah, I would think so. Good. Hey, look at this.
Whoa.
National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for April 3rd through the 7th.
She's a beaut.
We got above normal temperatures back into the Corn Belt. Southern Illinois, Indiana, Ohio looking at near normal temperatures. But the rest of the Corn Belt is above normal on the temperatures. We've got above normal precipitation in western Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, western Nebraska, near normal precip. Kansas through southeast Nebraska, Iowa, and into Wisconsin, and then below normal precip expected over in the eastern Corn Belt and down in Missouri. Thanks for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. We got a free-for-all for you right here on AgriTalk.